Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malik.
I'm Chemda.
KeithandtheGirl.com/Katga, K-A-T-G-A, U-H, right there. Voting will end for the Katga Awards tomorrow, so make sure you get your votes in. It's really the only time voting matters, so take advantage, okay? Thank you. Today's guest, Catherine Heller. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Her buddy, Sally Tamarkin. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
Uh-oh. You're just good, Catherine.
I like to one-up her whenever possible. Right.
This is true, though. I'm only just good.
I'm good plus.
Sally's greatest.
A lot of people seem to be liking us versus Steve Harvey.
Good.
Have you been seeing that?
Good, because this is my new campaign. I highly believe in fuck Steve Harvey. I am a big advocate of fuck Steve Harvey. I think he says a lot of fuckery, and I think he needs to be stopped.
Pumpkin says, now that the football season is over, for Keith and I anyway, can you replace football talk with a fuck Steve Harvey segment? Because this is my new favorite thing.
Oh my God, I'm sure he'd give us plenty of fodder for that.
All these years, says Cheryl, I thought Steve Harvey was just an unfunny guy with dimples. Thanks for educating me on his hateful douchery.
Mm-hmm.
It was there in history ever a time when Miss Universe couldn't perform her duties and the runner-up was unable to perform her duties?
Well, Miss America, what was her name, who got decrowned because of the nude photos?
Oh, right. Vanessa Williams.
Mm-hmm. That is the one time. But that was Miss America, so you're right.
Right, but the runner-up was there. What if the runner-up wasn't ready? Does it go to the Speaker of the House?
Yeah, exactly.
I thought you were going to say, has there ever been a time in history where the runner-up was funnier than Steve Harvey? Because
right.
I heard the interview and I'm like, wow, you're legit funnier and you don't even speak English.
I think if the first runner-up is not available, then Trump becomes Miss Universe.
Oh my God.
That is written into the bylaws, actually.
In every one of his bylaws, because he's got plenty.
I guess Mr. Universe steps up, right?
Oh, yeah.
I guess I got this.
As usual. Did you guys get your periods again?
He just starts lifting weights. Like, okay, I'll help when I can.
Good thing I'm ready for everything.
Right. Yeah. Sally and Catherine will be part of the Keith and the Girl Marathon. I'm very excited.
Yes.
Sunday, 9 a.m., they will be here. Following that will be Mara Wilson with Lisey Goranson.
Awesome.
Yeah. Isn't that fun?
My friends.
Yeah.
Yay.
I thought it'd be nice for you guys to like say hi on the way out, if possible.
Well, I'm going to be here helping out that day.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll be in
the start
studio.
Of your help. Mm-hmm. So Catherine is doing some of the social media that's going to happen. I have some ideas because it's nice to like give people a heads up, like here's what's coming up or here's what happened if you missed it.
Favorite quotes.
I'm hoping that you guys catch people on the way out to get like a 15-second interview to post on Instagram, like that kind of thing. So you'll be like the liaison, like the person at the end of a football game that goes, how did you feel about that sort of thing?
So, what are you wearing today?
And you'll be posting it through all the Keith and the Girl accounts. So if you're following us, follow Keith and the Girl. And you and Christy Cello are going to be doing that when one is not available. So
yesterday, Kenda was talking about the people rating back. He's like, okay, these are the times we're going to do the marathon. Are you available? I'm in Texas now. Okay, so that means you're not available? I fly back tonight. Okay, very good. Here's a new one. This is from Ray DeVito.
Oh my God, Ray. This is so funny.
So he texts, but okay, you know.
Well, it's weird. He's normally really on it all the time.
Right.
So
I just confirmed for the marathon. Just giving you a heads up, I'm bringing Daniel Simonson with me. Never heard of this guy. No offense to Daniel. I just don't know. He just moved from New York City from London. He grew up in Norway. He's awkward and a hilarious comic. You guys are going to love him.
Okay.
So
you're bringing him to the... Do you see that I'm literally booking every hour? But just bring someone.
Are we allowed to book our own guests?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because I have a couple acts I'd like to book during our slot.
I hate the word scheme, but it's a pyramid scheme. And we're the top, and then you guys take it from there, whoever
Amazing.
You like.
We have an opener, you guys. He's really awkward. You're going to love him.
I mean, you guys can make lemon juice out of lemons, right? So
sure, you just squeeze it.
Right.
So. Oh, Ray's just squeezing us again. Oh, of course, he just needs a hug.
Kemda writes, are you bringing him to be on mic? I have Joanna Ross and then Trey Gallion on mic with you. And Ray writes back, yes, I was going to bring him for that. Is that no good? You know what? it's just fine, actually, because we're going to put him on and not Ray.
Ray, yeah, Ray acts like he's never been on a show before. Like,
right. He produces.
Yeah.
He produces several shows.
Yeah. Right. Ray says, Keith, will you do a stand-up on my show for 10 minutes? I'm going to surprise him and go, I'm doing 5, and I brought a buddy of mine. He's doing 5. I met him the other day, but he seems fun. What the fuck? Ray does this often.
Based on his 5 minutes, I'm going to see if he's going to be my new roommate.
Right. Sometimes for football, I'd only want a couple people over my house. So I'll invite maybe 3 or 4 people, and then Ray will just come over with what is virtually a stranger to him and be like, I was watching the game with this guy at the bar, and so I just brought him over. Like, okay, hope we're all cool. Never mind, you know, maybe I bought 3 or 4 steaks for people and we're like, sorry, I didn't know you were coming.
Right. Now you got to rejudge things.
Right.
Sometimes I invite people over that I could probably literally be in my underwear with. Like, these 2 specific people are coming, or these 3 specific people, and I could do anything I do in life in front of them. If one of them brings a friend, I got to wear pants. Like, it's a whole
different thing.
It's a different story.
I'm doing my anti-woman humor, and then I got to look over like, oh, I'm sorry. Are you taking that personally? Do you love your wife? You know, I don't know this guy.
That's what I meant by no pants, right. My anti-woman humor.
Right. Are you going to put him on, this guy?
What did I say to him? I'm probably saying, like, I can't prompt, because the thing is, we have 4 mics. We might put in a 5th mic, but I don't like putting a 5th person on mic because it gets hectic.
Right.
So I don't want to. The honest truth is, I can't promise that that person will get on mic, but bring him, because it's a fucking marathon and a lot. Like, probably if you bring someone, I'm going to ask him something. It's going to be 40 hours in. I want to know something about everybody.
I got a question. I already have a question. How awkward are you?
Right.
We heard you're a little.
Give me 3 examples of how awkward you are. Yeah. I'll spot you this now.
You know what? Here's your time to do a tight 5, but we're going to stop you if we feel uncomfortable. No pressure.
Okay, I like this. Everybody can bring a guest, but we have to go by Catherine's rules.
Yes.
We get to ask him all the ridiculous questions. Mm.
Catherine and Sally, of course, they're the host of The Struggle Bus. Mm-hmm. They talk about their struggles. You know how it is. And they're doing a live one coming up that Hemda will be part of. As well as Janine Garofalo. It's February 8th at Union Hall at 7 p.m.
7:30, doors at 7. But we start right on time because we're old people.
Mm-hmm. So then tell people 7. New Yorkers are fucked up.
That's a really good point.
True.
Don't mess around. That's right. Hemda, I think you'll be pleased having Hemda on. I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh, I mean, having worked with both of you for so many years, I know what a professional you are. And, you know, the only reason we didn't ask you on is because you're a little awkward.
Thank you. No, I get it. Woman power sinking. I follow.
But when we were talking about the show and Sally mentioned she was nervous, I said to my boyfriend, I said, during this thing, like, I get nervous when I do a solo show, but Sally's hilarious, so I can just do autopilot. And then we have Hemda, who can just take over. We don't got to do anything.
Yeah, the ball's really in your court.
All right. Okay, I'm bringing balls.
Yeah. Well, Hemda hosted that show last night at the Village Underground. By the way, packed, right?
Oh, my God. Crazy packed.
And she was fantastic, of course.
Thank you.
And she's so cute, too, because afterwards she's like, how was I? Did I look like a real stand-up? Like, yeah, you were great. Like, yeah, what else? I'm like, I get what you're looking for, because I do a show, too. But that's it. You look comfortable. Okay, go on.
I have to have. I mean, that's your job, Keith. Why do you think I invited you?
Right.
I made you buy a ticket.
Here I'm reading. The show last night was better than most sex I've had. What a killer lineup and a great crowd. Thank you, everyone who was involved. Melissa Loader says, this show was fucking amazing, and I'm pretty difficult to impress. And Emmy, you know, she's a tough critic. It was amazing, all caps, and it really was. It was fantastic. I never got to see Karen do stand-up before. Feehan, I thought she was amazing. Everybody was good.
Well, I have feedback from Bonnie McFarlane herself, which, I mean, God, Bonnie, she's like amazing.
She's amazing.
To me. She gets on stage, and I'm just like, I can't. I need to be this person.
She did the documentary, Women Aren't Funny. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now I know who she is. Yeah.
Netflix. It's available on Netflix. You got to get it. So she wrote, you were great last night. It made me so mad.
That's how you know it's an honest compliment.
Yeah. Micah Fox was telling me that she and Bonnie were talking about how it's they're angry that I can do that. And I'm just like, oh, that's the nicest thing a comic could ever say. That's really nice. Well, I was nervous because usually a host has a host is a stand-up person. So they have the material, and what they do is instead of doing like a big chunk of their material, they do pieces in between other people's sets, and I don't have that. So in the beginning, I had like prepared mentally, you know, telling people to turn their phones off and like being a little jokey about it. And I was like, I guess that'll be enough jokes to like say the announcements and also joke around with it. And then they were like, okay, you're getting on in a minute. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I didn't think of like anything because I started getting nervous. I'm like, I can't just get on stage, tell people to turn off their phones in a funny way and then invite the first person. I was like, I got to say something personal. I need like a little bit of something. Right. And I'm like, can you just give me a couple minutes and then I'll get on stage? And they didn't even like tell me again. I just suddenly heard my name and I went on stage. But in those couple of minutes, I'm just like, what's happening in my life? What's happening in my life? What story can I tell? What can I make funny? La, la, la. And then I started talking about me moving. I'm like, that's got to be funny. And I was like so nervous about that. And in my head, I feel like all my tells are telling, but I think it wasn't. And then in between stuff, because I don't have material, I'm scanning other people's materials for piggybacking and like, you know, making fun of something. So
the callback.
Yeah. So, you know, Andrea's talking about how much Coke she did. And I'm like, what's funny about Coke? What's funny about Andrea on Coke? What's funny about what she said about it? You know, and they're already saying everything that's funny about it. They're great comics.
Right.
But I want to talk about what happened. Like, do I have an experience with Coke even though I've never done it? What do I feel about Coke? What's going to be funny about me talking about Coke? So I'm just scanning the whole time. But I'm in a lineup of like seriously professional, highly incredible women. And they're, when they do a stand-up show, it's like part of their night. They're all going to a different show. And so they're just talking to each other while other people are on stage. They've heard this material before. Mm-hmm. So they start talking to me and I'm like, no, no, I'm scanning. No, I'm just like, okay, I'm going to keep listening to the show. Okay, bye. And then I was just listening.
Yeah, that's how we were at the LA show. Danny and I, we left the green room because we wanted to listen in. And also Danny was nervous. I was too, by the way. But Paul F. Tompkins joined us backstage because he also wanted to listen. And the three of us are staying there all silent. And he's like looking at us like, hey, guys. And we're like, show. But like deep down, we were just freaking the fuck out.
We're going to be in a fugue state the entire day before the live struggle bus.
In a what?
A fugue state?
Just in a fugue state. I mean, like catatonic the entire day.
Awesome.
Fugue? I never heard of that word. It's like a nice fuck.
Fugue.
Yeah, fugue. Oh, fugue.
Yeah. Oh, fugue. I like it.
I knew to look over at Danny for him to laugh at me. And he was.
It's the Norwegian say of saying fucking.
He's like, that's my boss. She doesn't know a word.
Let me mention this. Speaking of stand-up, my album, God Made Me, Volume 1, is on Hulu. God Made Me Volume 2 will be on Hulu, whichever one you ordered.
Depends on if you're Euro or not.
Right. Thursday, January 26th. So plan a date night. Tuesday, January 26th. Plan a date night. You know, turn it on that day. Turn it on and go to bed. I don't care. Just turn it on.
Yeah.
You guys always make these albums number one, so we want to get a good showing on Hulu.
So this will be the only place to get Keith's new album that was recorded last April. It's the only way to get it. It's going to be in video. It's free because it's on Hulu, but we really do need everybody to watch it at the same time. So mark your calendars, January 26th. I mean, if you miss it, just watch it the next day. Just watch it. January 26th. Just go to Hulu. You can actually just put in Keith's name and it'll come in. I wonder if you can put in my name and it comes in because I'm the producer. You guys, I do things.
I totally want to watch that. I have Hulu until the 28th. I did the 2-week trial subscription because we really, really wanted to watch a South Park episode and we couldn't find it anywhere. So I was like, I'll just, and I have it in my calendar on the 28th to cancel Hulu.
So I don't think that you need Hulu Plus for that. You can definitely get it just on regular Hulu. You'll have a couple of commercials in between his sets, in between his tracks. But if you do have Hulu Plus, you'll have either less or no commercials. So either way, if you want to try it for the trial period or, you know, get the free version, you'll be able to hear and watch Keith's new album, January 26th, Tuesday on Hulu. Just play it in the background on mute. It doesn't matter. Make it happen. Thank you.
On mute. Make your own jokes. Yeah. Keith doesn't care.
I was more visual this year. It's like Mad Libs. Like, what do you think I'm doing? And then there's no way you didn't like this special because, or it's on you. All right, let's do some quick updates. Last time we talked to...
And of course, share it with your friends and continue. Yes.
Last time we talked to Catherine, she was talking about the baby fever.
Yes.
And saying to her boyfriend, Alex, look, you better be on board or that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What's going on now?
Now he's like super into it.
Okay.
And I'm like, but because kids are assholes. Some kids are assholes.
Well, like, he's 28. He's not a kid.
No.
Well played.
But it looks like we are moving in together. We are doing that. I mean, right. He kind of already moved in, so I have no choice. But, you know, at least I'll start getting rent money. Right. But, no, it's going really well. He's wonderful, and I've sort of made a big shift into that. And, yeah, we're talking about those things.
Do you guys have a date for moving in? So you're moving into your apartment?
Yeah, because I have the rent stabilized, one bedroom. Oh, he has a place with three roommates. Well, what happened was his lease is up in Maine. He was, like, cooking dinner, which is amazing. He's been, like, really stepping it up, buying toilet paper, doing all these things. And he looks over to me, and he's like, so my lease is up in May. And then he's, like, sautéing something. And I was like, mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, and my friend really needs a place to stay. And I was thinking, like, maybe he could move into my place. And I was like, oh, we have a date now. So May 1st.
Wow. Congratulations. Awesome.
We haven't officially talked about it. I said, wait till after my 40th birthday because I can't handle anything right now.
And fair. Yeah.
When is that?
March 2nd. So it gives us 2 months to do the official thing. And I can always change my mind, but I'm not going to. He's pretty much moved in.
Are you going to have him sign a lease or are you going to do like a binding verbal agreement?
I mean, my name is on the lease. Okay. But we're going to have a serious conversation about what this all means and what it means going forward. But yeah.
Did you do that with your girlfriend when you moved in? Because you had to move into her place, right?
Yeah, I'm her tenant. I was her squatter, and now I'm officially her tenant. No, we have like a series of verbal agreements about what I have to give her money for and my responsibilities around the house. It's all very,
it's a chore chart.
It's all very 50-50. There's a chore chart.
Lauren and I did that. We do a thing where we decided how much our bills are. Decided. This New York City decided how much our bills were.
What if this year they're a lot? That's what I decided.
So let's say, you know, your bills are like $2,000 a month. So that's like $1,000 a person. That's $250 a week about. So we just put in like whatever that amount is a week every week. And then by the time it's time to pay bills, we pay from a joint account.
That's great. A good idea.
Yeah, because then what happens when I don't do that is I start getting angry with people for like buying sneakers. And it's like, are you going to make rent? And it's like, I saw your weekly deposit. I have mine. We share these bills and the rest I don't want to get angry with you about.
So here's my question for you, because you are naturally a really good advice giver and you come up with these amazing solutions.
Guys, come back tomorrow. This is great. This is a lot of fun when you guys are here.
Honestly, how the fuck did you learn this stuff? I've never heard anything as reasonable as that, and I've lived with people before.
Just getting mad.
Yeah?
How do I not get mad at this anymore?
It's great.
But wait, I do have a question. Did you guys merge your finances? Like, to what extent did you merge your finances?
We didn't, because I think it would be a lot easier if we had more stable finances, if we knew exactly what we made all the time, you know, that would be a little bit easier. Mm. But we didn't. We opened up a separate bank account for both of us, and we transfer money into that account, and we do like all the mutual stuff from there, and then we do separately. I like to have a separate account. There's a lot of reasons. One, I do feel like I am my adult, and I have some sort of control over where my money goes, even if somebody else has an opinion on it, which they do and they will, and it will always happen. And then the second one is, like, what if I want to surprise you? What if I want to pay for dinner because that's still a thing? Like, even when you're married, I want to, like, take you out and I want it to be on me. Now, what does that mean? At the end of the month, if you're short, I'm making up for it. You know what I mean? But at least we have a way to figure out who's short, and we have a way to, like, figure out – I have a way also to figure out what is my sense of responsibility financially, because I don't want to argue about money. I don't want to feel stressed about money.
And the people that do you ladies have joint accounts?
No.
Not you yet. Sally?
We tried to do the thing that Hamda is talking about doing, but we like never committed. We like opened an account, put money into it, get charged for it every month, and then like, but don't actually use it. We rely heavily on Venmo, which is like... Mm. Kind of annoying and a dumb thing.
Passing money back and forth digitally. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you you see the couples, they do have a completely, you know, only a joint account. But you got, when you bring up gifts, it is weird. To go like, well, I know you spent a lot of money at the shoe store and I'm not seeing you with any shoes. So why don't you just give them to me now? I got to wait for my birthday.
You can always have a secret credit card. I know people have done that.
That's a thing. Then you have secret things. And then that secret credit card can go into a really bad place really fast.
Oh, no. The people I'm talking about, they were having affairs. So and they found out about it because of the secret credit cards. Oh. The guy left his credit card accidentally. I think he was like subconscious. Right. And she was like, what is this? And he's like, oh. So he was spending that money on his mistress. What?
Yikes.
The old mistress credit card.
But the point is, you can always get a credit card.
They are the devils that you've heard about.
Yeah.
Catherine made a special episode of her podcast, Tell the Bartender.
You know what? I don't even know if I thanked you appropriately
for
this. You have sent me in the last couple months, you've sent, I can't even look at you right now. You sent me like the nicest emails and I'm pretty good at that. Keep hitting mark as unread because, and then I think finally I was just like, this is so sweet. I don't even know what to say. And I hit send and that's like the worst response, but it's overwhelmingly sweet.
To be honest, it's better than nothing because I was like, did she listen? Does she like me? Like, is everything okay? Are we good?
I'm gonna show you pictures and we'll post them also. I'm gonna show you pictures of what I looked like listening to this. Because Lauren took the pictures and I was just, I don't know. It was insane. The fact that you put this together is magic.
Well, I wasn't even gonna post it because I told everyone, oh, it's just a private thing. I was really happy to do it just because everyone's so cool and you're awesome and you've done so many things for us, you know, and me personally. And then I realized, you know, it's a really beautiful thing. And even fans of Tell the Bartender, I did post it. It was episode 75. And they loved it too. You know, they made it very clear this was meant to be a private thing, but I think they liked how.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I'm like, you can do whatever you want with it. I don't know if people are interested in me.
People loved it. So yeah, you guys can listen to it if you haven't heard it already. All your favorite comedians are in it. Like a lot of comedians are in it.
Oh yeah, a lot. Keith, what were you saying it is?
What was I saying?
Were you about to describe it? Are we making it clear what it is?
It's episode 75 of Tell the Bartender called The Story of Hemda. And Catherine writes, earlier in December, I got 273,900 of Hemda's closest friends to tell stories about her and made a special episode of my storytelling podcast as a surprise gift.
By the way, anyone who made this, I can hang out in my underwear with them. But anyway, continue.
Look at that. That's
all 276 of them.
I hope you enjoy it. Happy New Year.
Well, it's funny you should say that about Josh Gondelman not getting back to you about the thing, because he got back to me about your episode. He's like, definitely, what do you need? I was like, anytime you want. He's like, how are you? Like, he kept writing back to me.
Such
I'm like,
sweetheart.
I'm good. How are you? He's like, real busy, but like, this is so great. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, cool. And I'm like, all right, where is it? And then he never got back to me.
Oh, really?
But he's such a sweetheart while doing so, so I can't get mad.
I'm telling you, I feel like the people that I read their back and forth yesterday on that show, I think some of them do need assistance. And I think Josh has been getting so busy that I could see that that's why.
Yeah.
Or I could, that's my inference. Is that a word?
Or he could just stop writing you and record something for 10 seconds.
Exactly. It was like 10 seconds.
Maybe you need an assistant for that. Okay, very good.
He can Instagram his pug all day long, right, but he can't fucking write back to me.
When your dog looks at you like this, send. We know.
You guys, buy his book so he can get an assistant.
People are really liking your What's My Name show, Hemda.
Thank you. What is this, another show about me today?
Bipolar disorder. It's episode 76. Of course, all these spin-off shows for Keith and the Girl are in our VIP program. John F. O'Donnell, Richie Alexander, Ted Alexander's brother, and Ted talk about their experience with bipolar disorder. And let me read two comments real quick. I was in middle school when I started listening to Keith and the Girl, but fast forward to 10 years later, and I am now about to graduate with my master's degree in psychiatric social work. I've worked in a few psych hospitals and have worked with many people with bipolar disorder. Hemda sounds like she would make a great social worker. This episode was awesome because I got to hear from people with similar experiences to the clients that I work with, except with Hemda, they were much more relaxed and open than they would be in a stuffy clinical setting. It was also good to hear from Ted to get his perspective and another indicator of Hemda's great instincts.
Well, that's super nice.
That's sweet.
I think Ted kind of gave me that idea because one time we were talking about, it's his brother and his mother who has bipolar disorder, and we were talking about it. I don't know how we got on the subject, but he said that he thinks it's a whole family that gets affected, and he started talking about his perspective, and I'm like, well, that seems like he's very adamant about how that perspective is very, very important if you have someone in your family who's going through that. So I wanted to include him. So I feel like it was both of our ideas.
My very first Keith and the Girl episode when I was about 5 years, was about 5 years ago, and it was a JFOD episode. What an introduction. It was insane, no pun. I was so sucked in by his mania in Ireland. Is this when JFOD was in Ireland and he thought he was an international spy?
Yes, and he broke into somebody's hotel room, and then when the cops came, he just pretended to be even more crazy.
But even before the cops came, I don't know if he was pretending, but even before the cops came, he went into the shower to masturbate. You know how James Bond would do.
Sure.
He just started, I'm a spy, so I have to masturbate in somebody's hotel room.
I thought that's what he does.
Right.
James Bond. He seems like he would masturbate all the time.
International man of masturbation, they call him.
I feel like he looks in the mirror and does it.
I love What's My Name, and this was a great episode. Hemda is such a wonderful interviewer, and elicits great and thoughtful responses from her guests.
Thank you.
People with bipolar disorder used to really scare me. I knew a few, and they were always flying off the handle and doing batshit crazy things. Hearing bipolar people discuss their issues and what's going on in their head is really helpful for me. The breaking down their thought process takes some of the mystery out of it for me.
That's really cool.
So there you go.
Whoa. And you know what? Listeners have sent me ideas for what I should interview next, like for themes, because it's always based on one topic, and that's helpful too. So if you have, I don't know, tweet it at me, Facebook, mm-hmm. people have like really good ideas and actually have suggested guests that were so fascinating. So thanks for your help.
There you have it.
Cool.
Big news. North Korea, you may know, supposedly they tested positively a hydrogen bomb. Now, this would be bad news, except they say that they succeeded in so many other areas also that I'm not too nervous, unless that's them flying overhead right now. Then I am. They have developed a cure for AIDS.
Thanks for sharing.
Is also a cure for drug addiction, cancer, and Ebola.
Charlie Sheen is on the plane right now.
Right. Wow.
So the same pill will cure all those things?
Yes.
Right.
Ebola is the same as AIDS.
Not the same, but you know, it's like
immune, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Right. Immune, blah, blah, blah. And excuse me, they have also created a new liquor that will not cause hangovers. It's
now hangover you're talking.
Free, right?
Yeah, you just eat potatoes.
So this sounds good, but I don't think any of it's true at all.
Really? Why?
You're such a negative Nelly.
Yeah.
They've also discovered a way to breathe underwater.
To give mermaids their feet. It's really actually nice.
Oh, that's so nice of them.
North Korea.
Speaking of drinking, here in New York City, 18% of pedestrians that get hit by cars were drunk.
Pedestrians?
Yeah. 18%. 22% of drivers that got in accidents were drunk.
I don't know what to do with that math.
I feel like the area around NYU is like very overrepresented. Like down there is like, just feel like there's a lot of drunken wandering at night.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's the West Village.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you hear that there was a protest on the San Francisco Bay Bridge for Black Lives Matter? And, you know, some people got arrested, of course. They're clogging up the lanes. A police sergeant tweeted out, he's from St. Paul, Minnesota. He's talking about San Francisco. It's a small world. And he wrote on Facebook, "Run them over, keep traffic flowing, and don't slow down for any of these idiots who try and block the street. Here is the deal. You continue to drive, and if you hit someone, make sure you call 911 to report the accident and meet the cops a block or two away, and you can justify stopping further away because you feared for your safety, since in the past..."
This is a tweet?
This is a Facebook.
Oh.
Way too long.
Yeah. In the past, people, I typed interested. "For your safety, since in the past, people in this group have shown a propensity towards violence."
He knows the words propensity?
"Since they are trying to..." Well, autocorrect. "Since they are trying to block the street and or cross where there is no crossing, you should not be charged with anything. Now, these idiots could try and sue you in civil court, but remember that it will be a jury trial, and so most likely it will come out in your favor."
Does he know how Facebook works? That is public?
Does he know how law works? It's not legal to run someone over because they're in your way. That's not a thing. Is that a thing?
No.
Did I miss that?
No.
Wait a minute.
And this is the same city where they actually did shoot protesters, you know, so there's that.
Well, right. Well, I guess there are also protests in St. Paul. So he's saying, you know, anywhere out there, you see these guys, run them over. I really doubt you'll get charged for murder. Mm-hmm.
Can I be his boss, like doing the press release about this? Okay. You guys could be the press if you want to ask me questions. But first I have to have a statement probably, right?
Great.
We believe that we definitely need to look into this issue. We have several men following the Facebook account. We understand that we need to look at the post. Obviously, we can't make any quick decisions because, you know, everyone's rights is everyone's rights. And, you know, it's a good police officer, and we're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to take care of it. But we're definitely on it. Yes.
Question.
Over here.
Could you make any quick decisions?
You know, we're going as fast as we can. Mm-hmm. We are only police. Mm-hmm. Some of us are a little confused by just our regular day's work. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to have to work it out. You know what? Yeah, that's all I have. Thank you.
Mr. McGillicuddy, yes. Hi. Mm-hmm. Yes, Catherine from the St. Paul Pioneer Press.
Yes, lady, please.
Does this apply to every day? Or just this one day when people are protesting? Like, what if I'm near the Mall of America and I see a family and I'm like, I hate children?
I don't think that you understand how law works, which is why you should let us do our work. Mm. You know, people think Black Lives Matters, but police officers' lives matter too.
Mm. Did you just, ma'am, did you just say Black Lives don't matter?
Yes. Now, let me explain. We don't like Black people. Oh my God, wait a minute. Let me just explain. Black people are terrible. What? Hold on.
There was a woman who was coming home over Martin Luther King Day, and there was a Black Lives Matter protest, and she tweeted, if Martin Luther King were alive, he would have said all lives matter. He wouldn't have stopped traffic with his riots and protests like these animals. And everyone just tweeted at her photos of Martin Luther King Jr. protesting on bridges and right. like in the middle of traffic getting arrested. And they're like, he did.
How about Jimmy Kimmel did this thing about he went to the man on the street thing, which, by the way, every time I see these things, I'm like, hey, when you see a camera on the street and they ask you for an interview randomly, just say no. You're going to look right. stupid.
No matter right. what.
Like, it's information that you're supposed to know and you won't because you're a dummy also, just like the rest of them. That's how they get all these things. But this was terrible.
Did you see the man on the street last night? This guy had his shit together.
right. He knew all the issues.
He was calm, cool, and collected.
He was on his way to the donut shop. But I got to say, this guy, he really broke down how we should deal with ISIS. And I love it. And I'm glad it's viral.
Yeah. So these guys were like, hey, how do you feel that Martin Luther King is backing up Trump for president?
Oh, no.
And they were, they just went with it. They were just like, I don't think I feel good about that. But this one guy who we're assuming is Mexican was like, yeah, because Trump is he's making America good. And like in the middle of his interview, he sees a friend of his or something. He's like, hey, what's up? And then the interviewer is like, really? So you're okay with like what Trump has to say? And then at the end, and the guy's like, yeah, yeah, blah, blah, blah. At the end, the guy goes, all right, kill all Mexicans. He's like, wait, no, hold on.
Whoa.
Well, that's what Trump is saying.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. No, yes. Yeah. I mean, basically.
It was really funny. I'm probably not even reiterating it right, but it was a little trip I took you guys on. Thanks for coming.
I mean, yeah.
I was leaving work the other day, and Billy Eichner is around the neighborhood.
Billy on the street.
He's on the street around my work. And he walked by and we like brushed elbows and we locked eyes. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. It's happening. It's happening. Be cool. Be cool. And then he just like looked away and kept walking. But he was like doing his thing where he was darting, looking for his net. And his PAs were like running after people, trying to get other people to like sign waivers or whatever. It was terrifying.
So did you feel good or bad that he didn't pick you?
I was so relieved.
I would feel good, like maybe I look smart.
But my question for
Sally
you...
Sally says, I'm ignorant and I rat off on the mouth.
Yeah.
No? Okay.
Would you pretend to act goofy just to get on TV is my question.
No, I don't. No, absolutely not. I would act goofy to avoid being on TV. I don't want to be on Billy on the Street. It's awful.
I started eating my shit in front of them. That's illegal. They can't show that. So... Nearly 10% of college graduates in the U.S. believe that TV host Judge Judy is a member of the Supreme Court.
That's plausible.
Americans in general, meaning not just taking college-educated people, it jumps up to 13% of people believing Judge Judy.
How do they ask this question?
Do you believe Judge Judy? Maybe they lead the witness. You do know, right? That's yeah. Judge Judy.
No, because if you were like... If you just brought up Judge Judy, nobody's just thinking that, are they?
Well, she looks a little bit like Ginsburg.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
I'm just trying to find a reason.
She seems judgy. She has a judgy demeanor.
Yeah, and, she is a judge, right?
And do you know that Jimmy Kimmel is the court-appointed White House jester? Yeah, sure.
I believe that.
Yeah. Jamie Foxx saved the day. He sprung into action and saved the driver from an overturned burning car.
Wow.
The wreck happened at 8:30 p.m. on Monday. A vehicle skidded on wet roads, hit a ditch, flipped upside down, happened to be in front of Jamie Foxx's gate in Hidden Valley. It's northeast of L.A. He heard the accident, ran to the scene, saw the driver buckled into the seat. The car's burning. He pulled the guy out.
Wow. Wow. I just got chills.
Yeah.
Wow. You wonder what you would do. You would assume that you would have to help, but I just get nervous like
about the car exploding.
I know I would never do that. I know.
Let me just say it right now.
See, I would because I would think it was a test and it was a Jimmy Kimmel prank and I really got to save this guy.
Oh my God. Did you see when Ashton Kutcher punked Justin Timberlake and he started crying?
Yeah, yeah.
Who, Justin Timberlake started crying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man. Well, they pretended that he did taxes wrong and they were repossessing everything in his house, including his favorite guitar, but they made a replica of his guitar and they crashed it by accident. He starts to cry. I would, too.
Yeah, of course.
It's just not funny. It's just mean.
No.
Yeah.
We pretend to kill your mother. Look at his reaction.
Right, right. Your whole life is being taken away.
Yeah, but I guess you're good with it if you sign something at the end.
that's true.
He wasn't embarrassed. He was crying and calling his mom.
I wonder if they do. Yeah, they do have to sign it.
Yeah, of course they do.
He probably knows that as Justin Timberlake, he looks better crying than average people do just existing.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he probably looks better crying than having having them say that he didn't even want to sign the thing.
Because
you know it's going to get out that he cried.
Yeah,
and then you might as well just be on. But I think you're right, Sally.
He's like, I look amazing when I'm crying.
Right.
He's hot crying, they
he
call it.
He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't like say anything racist or weird. He called his mom. It humanized him. It was adorable. He probably fucking
knew. Now it
knew.
Just sounds like a Justin Timberlake organized PR stunt.
To be fair, I think he actually knew.
Oh, no. My guitar. Mommy.
He did start singing, a song called Mommy.
Mom. I've called it my mom. Single tear running down my face.
He came out in the suit and tie, and he's like...
What are we doing? Did Britney do this to me?
It makes sense that because that my taxes aren't up to snuff because I gave so much money to the poor. Are there cameras? They have the best lighting, but he had no idea. Sarah Palin has endorsed Donald J. Trump.
I mean, doesn't that make sense?
That checks out.
Yeah.
Did she get to do it on TV?
So she does it on TV, and it's I saw it, and he's just standing there. With his arms down, you know, like sometimes you don't know what to do with your hands, but he's just waiting there. He has this look on his face like, please don't say anything stupid.
Yeah.
Or than endorsing me. You know, and he's like, and there's almost relief when she didn't say anything too dumb. He's like, oh, okay, good. All right.
Yeah, I think it was Gawker made a beat poetry mix of what she was saying. Because it was kind of stream of consciousness. She's like, all the Americans and the hard working everyone, they're out there. And so they put a beat under it and they
That's
cut
amazing.
It. So it was like, and then the doom, 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 the hard working Americans. And I was like, yeah, I can get behind that.
Apparently, she's big in Iowa and the getting...
Iowa, do you hear this?
High poll.
Do you hear your PR? Okay, just let's pause... Iowa, you're listening to this show. A lot of people in your state, Jesus Christ.
I blame John and Molly Neffel. They're from Iowa.
Oh,
they're the only people I know from Iowa, so I just assume they are Iowa.
Are you ready for a leader to make America great again? Are you ready to stump for Trump? I'm here to support the next president of the United States. Fingers crossed. Donald Trump. And Donald's like, sure, good.
What does stump for Trump mean?
Stump means you're going to go out there and proselytize. He's been going rogue left and right. That's why he's doing so well. He's been able to tear the veil off the idea of the system.
Tear the veil off the...
I was clear. Ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump.
How is he going rogue?
Tear the veil off is very evocative.
Yeah. Well, that's her thing. She goes, I go rogue.
Did someone marry my sister?
For example, I was a governor of Alaska and I just quit. That's pretty rogue. You know?
Sure, yeah.
So anyway, this guy's rogue too.
Oh.
So who likes to go rogue?
Oh, it sounds like fun. I'll go rogue.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it like a rave?
So apparently it's a big deal. You get the high polls in Iowa as if the rest of the country, do we look towards for Iowa? Like what's Iowa up to today?
A fashion statement.
Right? So apparently this is going to help him and it leads to somehow.
Well, they do the caucuses and everyone like for some reason follows the caucuses because they do. Yeah.
Yeah,
right?
And they do all the interviews in the diners there.
Yes, that's it, yeah.
And then the caucuses.
It's like Iowa is the Golden Globes, right? And it gives us a clue if we're right or wrong.
But ultimately it doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Who are you guys voting for?
Oh, for Sanders in the primary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, and I don't actually care yet. I feel like it needs to get closer for me to...
Right.
Care. I guess I care like in the big picture, but not enough to like.
I'm with you. I only pay attention during the playoffs.
There you go.
She has endured. Oh, by the way, yeah. So don't forget that you know, she ran for president, didn't make it. Of course,
vice president.
Ran for vice president. She thinks it was president. Mm-hmm. Ran for vice president, didn't make it, and then she's like, she's so bummed out, she quits being governor of Alaska. You just quit.
Oh yeah, she gets butthurt pretty easily though.
But
yeah.
She got a new job on Fox News right after she quit her governor job.
Did she really?
Yeah, that's what she went to straight right after that. Yeah, she was a contributor on Fox News.
What did she contribute?
Her feelings and thoughts, you know.
Oh, you know.
Important stuff.
Important stuff.
And there was an Iowa rally, and Sarah Palin didn't show up to it, apparently. But okay.
And her son got arrested for being drunk and punching his girlfriend last night, too.
Yeah, it's been tough. Less than 24 hours before she endorsed Donald Trump, Sarah Palin's son was arrested on domestic violence charges. Track Palin, 20... What the fuck?
Is that a name?
No, it's not a name, but it is. Track.
Okay. Don't they already have a Trig?
That's another son.
26-year-old son Track was arrested and charged with interfering with the report of a domestic violence, possession of a firearm while intoxicated, an assault on his girlfriend. Around 10 p.m. Monday.
How old is he?
26.
A police officer responded to a 911 call at the Palin household in Wasilla. The officer wrote that when he met Track Palin in the driveway, he was, quote, uncooperative. You know what I'm trying to say.
Uncooperative.
He wasn't nice. Belligerent and evasive with my initial line of questioning. Track and his girlfriend of 1 year had been arguing about her contact with an ex-boyfriend most of the day. Something about a secret credit card. Even during a dinner at the sister's house before returning to the house where he lives with his parents. Track approached her.
Wait, he lives with his parents?
That's the most upsetting detail of the entire story.
Oh, God, really? Of course you're punching your girlfriend. All right, parents. We already spoke about Iowa. Now let's talk to parents. Parents, if your kid is still living with you at 26, unless there's like... really just something happened and that's a thing, that's fine, whatever. But if he's just like chilling at your place, he's beating up his girlfriend.
Track approached her, struck her on the left side of her head near her eye with a closed fist, sending her to the ground where she curled up into a fetal position. Track then kicked his girlfriend in the right knee and threw her phone across the driveway. Fuck your phone. She then ran to retrieve her phone and ran back inside the Palin home where she was met by Track and his AR-15 rifle.
Oh, jeez.
Track cocked the weapon and menaced the girlfriend by asking, "Do you think I'm a pussy? Do you think I won't do it?" The girlfriend, not sure if Track would shoot himself, ran outside and around the house, losing sight of Track, and ran to hide under a bed. Track Palin was arraigned by the district court, released after posting $1,500 bail.
Die. Oh, that's my New Year's resolution, you guys.
Yeah, no,
yeah, people should just die.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy we don't need.
Man, I just feel like he didn't have a fighting chance because they named him Track.
Yeah.
I feel like we knew that one was going to go sideways 26 years ago.
Is that his full name? Is that short for something?
Yeah, what is that? Track and Field?
Track and Field Palin. Was he in the military, Track? Yeah.
Yes, he was.
Sarah Palin is saying, this is true. My son, like so many others, they come back a bit different. They come back hardened. They come back wondering if there is that respect for what is that their fellow soldiers and airmen and every other member of the military so sacrificially have given to this country. And that starts from the top. That comes from our own president, where they have to look at him and wonder, do you know what we go through? Do you know what we're trying to do to secure America? So she's blaming Obama.
Right. But when was the last time that she did something for troops and their PTSD? This is the first time we've heard of her even believing in that kind of thing.
Bush was president when he went to Iraq, by the way. This is true.
It's stellar parenting that she's turning this whole thing into a political opportunity for her.
Oh, you just beat up the girlfriend. Thanks, Obama. What the fuck? A teacher at a prestigious Manhattan public school was arrested Tuesday for trying to seduce a student on a trip to the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Oh, that's the saddest. You tried to seduce.
Yes.
Aw.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. You couldn't even get the right color lollipop.
Dean Beth. Right. Nothing's more boring than a museum. I'd give a guy a blowjob just to not have to see another dinosaur. Here's a shit. Here's what the first TV looked like. Even that's not fun. Dean Bethia, 54, teaches at the Columbia Secondary School for Math, Science, and Engineering, was charged with endangering the welfare of a minor and giving alcohol to a minor. The teacher took the 16-year-old girl to the museum on Friday and bought her two alcoholic drinks. No, guys, these are for me.
That also doesn't sound like a field trip when you take one student.
Right.
Yeah. Why did they originally called it a field trip, right?
Seduce a student on a trip.
On a trip.
So maybe it was just one-on-one.
Why is there a one-on-one trip?
As they left the museum, Bethia asked the girl if he could kiss her.
Oh, my God.
She rejected him.
Even after two cups of alcohol.
Now, once you give the two drinks of alcohol and you go, hey, I'm 54, you're 16, but something's going on. May I kiss you? And she says no.
Mm-hmm.
You have to kill her, right? Like, where do you... All right, I'm just going to... I guess we'll just part ways and hope you don't tell anybody.
Just kidding. This was an exercise. Right. Now, if I was a boy your age,
right,
bad things could have happened to you. Just drank two things of alcohol.
Right.
You're underage. Now, I know that you're a trusting person and I'm older than you, but you have to recognize that even people my age are not good for you.
Anytime that I would try this to make out and be with an underage girl, I would always have, see, I bring a cameraman with me. He's hiding. I go for it. If it doesn't work out, I bring out the cameras and I go, good, you were on. What would you do? And here's $100. Holy shit, that was close.
And for $100, you get out of everything.
Yeah.
So did she report him?
So she reported him, yeah.
Good for her. Good for her. You know what? That must have been hard because she was by herself and she did drink the drinks and that's illegal for her. And a lot of the steps that she took, she could have like turned around and blamed herself. And she said no and it sounds like he stopped. So, quote, nothing happened. So she could have just let that pass. It's just a moment in her life. I love it. Congratulations. That must have been tough. Good job.
Mm-hmm.
An unrepentant sicko, says the newspaper, who filmed himself raping his girlfriend's 6-year-old daughter.
Wait, what? Oh, my God. Why are we reading this right now? My brain just exploded.
Had no remorse. He was sentenced to 25 years to life. Well, 25 is enough.
Die. Okay.
You get the point.
Die.
Well, he'll be rehab. I don't understand why the DA is asking for a max sentence for something that did not happen, he said.
What?
They have it on video. He recorded it on the phone. Gosh. His mom found it on the phone, turned him in.
Now, hold on. How old is he?
Old enough. 35.
Okay, and his mom is checking his phone for video. If he's 35, his mom hardly knows how to check a phone for video.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, how did it? He was either so lax about, is your mom going through your phone?
Oh, she doesn't know how to do anything. No.
I feel like you'd only do that if you strongly suspected that your son was a complete degenerate.
Yeah. Right. And what are you looking for? Certainly not that, are you?
I'm also guessing this is not his first offense. Do you know what I mean? Don't just do that out of the gate. Like, he must
and
have
record
been,
it.
He must have been creepy
That's
before.
Horrifying.
He videotaped it, the mom says, so he could watch it over and over again. He is disgusting.
Good for the mom.
They play the video in court for the jury, he's still denying it. Like, this is some bullshit.
This poor jury, honestly, I don't know what I would do if I was the jury. I'd be like, I don't need to see it. I'm assuming what you're about to tell me happened on that tape. Get the fuck out of here. I don't need to see an adult male having sex with a 6-year-old.
When they say,
I would opt out. I'm losing my mind like I'm on the jury right now. You cannot make me see this. It is my legal right to not watch kiddie porn. There's no way they're just showing kiddie porn.
And it'd be funny. And then the jury says, you know what? Actually, we do need to see it. And they go, fuck, we are bluffing. We thought you would just say you don't want to see it and believe us.
And they arrest everybody who was okay with seeing it.
Right. The victim, who is now 8, has been in and out of psychiatric facilities since the attack.
Oh, poor baby.
And is, of course, suicidal.
An 8-year-old suicidal.
Holy shit.
Aside from like a 6-year-old is very well aware of what feels good and what, you know, like emotionally and like threatening wise and whatever. Also, that must have physically hurt.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because you're not ready for that.
That poor kid.
On a lot of levels.
Did you hear the story about there's a dad in Brooklyn. He was drinking, just to be clear, it doesn't sound like sex was involved. He's drinking with his 18-year-old daughter in a park. Okay?
Oh, I heard that. Yeah.
Guys. A gang of teenagers goes into the park with a gun, starts raping the daughter.
Oh my God.
Tells the dad to get the fuck out of there. He goes over to the local bodega. He asks to use the phone. They don't give him the phone to call the police. The reason they don't, we find out later, he was so drunk he wasn't making any sense.
Oh God, how much? Okay, drinking with your 18-year-old, I'm totally fine with. Getting blackout drunk with your 18-year-old in a park?
There's
You're
a lot
stupid.
Of things about this story I don't understand because I read the first report, and then it came out later that allegedly they were in a sexual relationship, the father and daughter.
I don't fucking know. I'm being told sex was involved.
Yeah.
It was in one of the stories, their side of the story is that the dad and daughter were drunk. Who's their side? The teens say that the dad and daughter were drunk and fucking, and they asked if they could get in on the action, saying it was consensual.
Oh, but he probably doesn't remember.
Who knows?
Who? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm never going to be the same.
But this is horrifying. Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of things about this story that are upsetting, no matter what.
Was there a weapon, Danny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that kind of shows it's probably not consensual.
Hey, can we get in on that?
They took a...
Take your time.
The teens took some video of the girl where they basically asked for her consent, but not really. They're like, you down for this? And she's on it. You can't hear. And they're like, all right, she said yes. And I'm like, you actually went that far to do that, even though rape can happen in the Middle East. Like,
Right. No, then that's rape. That proves that it is rape.
I need a shower after this. I can't. This story is so horrible on so many levels. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, luckily, I'll tell you what.
Oh, there's luck in this. Oh, that's good.
Well, you got to think these will, you know, these, if we can get these to the Supreme Court and no nonsense Judge Judy can take care of these
She'll
assholes.
Take care of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Then we're talking. Get Judge Joe Brown. He'll weigh in. These people don't put up with shit.
Where was his cell phone? This is modern times, right?
What do you mean?
This guy, the father.
Where was his cell phone?
Yeah.
He don't know. He's stumbling all around. Who the fuck knows?
Fucking fuck. Mm. Yeah. Can he die? He should die. Bye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd give him at least 2 years. Not a nice guy.
2 years to live?
And I'm looking at these, you know, all these stories. That person's raping his girlfriend's daughter. His time starts at 25 years.
Can you imagine if he gets out at 25 years and she's around to see him get out of jail?
Right.
I think she should be allowed to kill him. But why should she have to kill a human being?
Mm-hmm.
That's a bonus.
No, you enjoy that. But
surprise.
I would enjoy that. I would love that. That would be so great. And I get to torture them. This is that you don't have to do it in my new world.
Keith, you get to kill three people. Who are they?
I already know.
Who? Let's hear it.
Well, it's tough because I have four, but
John Petrie.
No, because he's just a tortured drug addict now, and that's great.
I see.
Yeah.
Ray DeVito for that stupid
that
text.
That was so dumb. Quit bringing people to my... He brought over some anti-Semitic guy. I thought the guy was telling jokes at first. I'm like, these are some weird fucking jokes. Until finally he's like, seriously, Jews are the worst. And I'm like... And Ray's like, oh, I didn't know him that well. Then why are you introducing him to me?
Oh, my God.
Right.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Right.
Oh, Ray trusts everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when you're burned so many times with bad roommates, bad friends, wake the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm going to bring this. Yeah, you're right. You know what? He's taking all three slots. What do you think of that?
Now who's awkward? Oh, I love Ray. He's a hugger.
Oh, he is a hugger.
From way back.
he says he's starting to realize how terrible it is him doing the hugging because I keep mentioning it. So now fans find him and hug him. And he's like, oh, I guess when you're on the receiving end, you don't
What,
see
does he
coming.
Hug too long or something?
Just a lot.
Just a lot.
Like frequently.
He Catherine, doesn't know what come here. I'm like, I'm brushing my teeth. Like, we're on a tour bus.
That's a
We're
lot,
already
yeah.
standing next to each other. Don't hug me. I just got out of the shower. I can't find my towel because I think Keith took it. Keith, did you take my towel?
No, I did not take your towel. Did you
not bring a towel on the tour bus? You did not bring a towel on the tour bus. I saw you with a white towel, and then it was missing for 4 days, and then I found a moldy version of my towel, which I'm still using, by the way, because I'm broke.
I never took anybody's towel out of the bathroom.
What statement was that? Because it made you look weird.
I'm sure I would have used people's towels.
I feel you use my towel. It's okay. I just want to know.
I did not. Come here.
Oh my God.
All right. Do yourself.
Catherine was so quiet on tour now. I bet she has a lot of questions for a lot of people. We should collect your thoughts.
I do. But anyway.
You know, we did record it. We documented it. Hopefully it'll be I see it as either a series or a full-length documentary. Still need to figure out how that's going to happen. But I feel like we should get thoughts now, like that we're a little distance from it, you know, maybe like everyone collects thoughts and we videotape that.
Making a Murderer? Mm-hmm. The whole towel thing could go on for like longer than that. You have no idea. In every confessional, I was like, still haven't found my towel. This is the one thing.
Wait, is that true? Did you mention it?
I did mention it a few times because once I found it moldy, I'm pretty sure I was like, well, found my towel.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I remember. Like Keith. I remember getting pissed directly to the camera about Ray.
I was
like smoking weed going, you know what, Ray, this one's for you. I'm smoking like an apple.
Hey, Ray, we're about to leave. Where are you at? I just ordered breakfast at this restaurant down the block.
And he's sitting waiting for it because he's going to have it. I'm like, but you're supposed to be here 15 minutes ago. And he's like, yeah, I'll be right there. I'm like, no, you just ordered food in a restaurant. This is a tour. We're going to another place.
Okay, no problem. Do you want anything?
He's so special. Ray, I know you could hear this. Shout out.
When is he going to be here on the marathon so I can watch this all go down?
Okay.
Because I want to see what's going to happen with his friend.
Ray DeVito. I'll look for him. Okay.
I could do like a video confessional with his friend in the other room. Like, do you want to be on the mic right now?
Oh,
I can
make that happen.
Okay, so here's what you do. Download, if you haven't, the Struggle Bus podcast, okay? And hear what's going on. Because these ladies, if I'm not out of line, say they're a fucking mess. But they don't mind sharing what's going on, and there's going to be something you can relate to. I mean, they're all over the spectrum, trust me. So they definitely will cover you and your issues.
Barely functional.
That's right.
Actually, we have a little announcement. There's some games we're playing on the Struggle Bus Live with the audience members, and one of the games is inspired by Danny's mom.
Oh.
And the game is...
How many dicks did Danny suck?
No. The game is we have someone come up on stage, and we say, who said it? We're going to give you a quote. Was it Dear Abby or my friend's mother on Facebook? Because your mother has some of the best inspirational quotes.
Are they going to be Danny's mom?
What? Oh, some of them are, yeah. I mean, it's all the ones my friend's mother on Facebook is Danny's mom.
And
oh, really?
I played the game. It's hard. It's tough to
It's
tell.
A tough one. It's hard. They're good. They're good.
Use gum to remove more gum from your shoe. Is that Danny's mom? Or February 8th at Union Hall, 7 p.m. Go see their podcast live, all right? And, of course, tell the bartender you also want to listen to Catherine's podcast.
Yeah.
And there you have it, all right?
Mm. By the way, the shows that you guys produce, I know, sell out pretty quickly. What's the easiest way for people to get tickets in advance?
Oh, you know what? You can go on to strugglebuspodcast.com. In fact, there's $7 in advance and $10 at the door. So you want to get them in advance.
Put that $3 towards a drink.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But there's no drink minimum. Union Hall is very cool. You can just come and see the show and leave. Mm-hmm. We're going to be done in an hour because we don't like to stay out too late.
I want to be in bed by 9.
So. Yes.
Make it real quick.
Or go to unionhallny.com. They're selling tickets on the website.
All right, cool. And Ray DeVito for the marathon will be here at 9:30 on Sunday night.
I'm not going to be here.
So like 12 hours after you guys. Mm-hmm. But you can listen. You can listen live on our app, keithandthegirl.com/app. You can just go to the website, keithandthegirl.com. There'll always be instructions or just a play button that you could play. There'll be access to the chat through there. So the easiest thing to share and to go to the day of the marathon, which is Saturday, January 30th. We start at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. People will be going into the chat at 2 p.m. though. The easiest way is to just go to keithandthegirl.com, share that link. All of our social media is at keithandthegirl, and start following us now. I'm telling you, during the marathon, we're going to be posting and putting up like a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. So follow us before you forget.
Add the following people to your Twitter account, Sally T, at Sally T. That's Sally Tamark, and you can follow what's going on. And Catherine Heller's at SPK Heller. Okay? Thank you. KeithandTheGirl.com.